Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Okay, well, here we are on AfterBuzz TV. We're letting the buzz begin, and we'll bring it to an end, but not yet, because we just started. My name's Lauren LaGrasso. Welcome to the show, my beautiful co-host.
Wow.
We have Sean and Tanier. What's up, guys?
What up?
Not much.
AfterBuzz.
Glad to be here.
I said it before, and I'll say it again. I'm officially Team Marty.
Oh, we've got a hot take over here. Let me hear. What do you think? What are your overarching thoughts of this episode?
On my behalf, I'm just going to say...
Oh, yes, sir. Please. Mr. Prim and Proper.
Just wow. Just so many scenes. I mean, just Darlene and Wyatt... I'm going to just leave it right there. I mean, you guys saw, so...
There was an intimate moment shared. You will be hitting that in depth.
I see what you did there.
For me, like, it was like everybody was trying to out-gangster everybody else. Mm. Even the therapist was getting in on being gangster.
She might be the biggest thug in the whole town, right?
She might be the quietest thug, yes.
Quietest... Also most savvy entrepreneur.
Mm, well,
playing both sides.
Both sides of the field. It reminds me of when I was little and I would go to my mom and ask for gum and she would say yes. And then I'd go to my dad and ask for gum and he would say yes. And neither of them would be any the wiser.
Nice.
And I had two pieces of gum.
Double
your pleasure, double your fun, double mint gum.
Just,
as
know.
The old saying goes. Well, yeah, it was a wild ride. I mean, there's almost too many topics to hit, but the first thing we need to get to, and probably the most important thing, is the power shift that's happening between Wendy and Marty.
Mm. I mean, can we just start with my man Marty comes back, and you're thinking
like
everyone's
a phoenix from the ashes,
right?
Rising up, honey.
He's coming back where he's in. They start off with him in bed. Him and
we can't blow over that.
Hang on. Please take it away.
That was, and we were watching. And Lauren, you said it. That was the most intimate moment of this show ever between Marty and Wendy, and it was beautiful.
It was the only time they've ever shown true tenderness toward each other.
Yes.
Yeah.
And like I got a little emotional.
I did too.
I was like, are we watching Grey's Anatomy all of a sudden? Like, what's going on? Because I'm about to cry. Right?
Yeah. Well, you know, this show builds tension so well and they barely ever give you a moment of release. And when they do give you a moment of release, it's either you're so relieved that someone's not dead or you're laughing.
Yes.
And so it felt nice to see something that was so deeply intimate and tender and human.
Yes. Like, it was like, oh, this is what, like, this is them at their best, like, together. Like, this is why they got married originally, right? Like,
right.
There was that moment. And, like, and I totally 1,000% believed it and bought it.
Yeah. And I think they did in that moment, too. But there was an almost instant shift to going back to the power struggle.
Yeah.
Because before Wendy even could wake up, Marty was in there pretending like nothing ever happened, cooking the kids breakfast, cleaning. He cleaned.
Yes.
And getting ready for work. And, I mean, I think this is the first moment we see kind of Wendy not knowing what's going on.
Yeah.
Her wherewithal is gone, and she's kind of just dumbfounded.
Mm. Yeah, it's kind of like season one Wendy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, where she, before all this really took, form, she didn't know what was going on. And now I feel like she's like... Wait, what?
Right. No, it was, and like you said, it was kind of that, she was in that, just that headspace of, what? You know, the kid's talking to her, like, is dad okay? Like, no, he's fine. You know, like, I'm trying to figure it out myself, type thing. So, and we see Marty, like you said, he's just stepping it up with a little extra something in his, just a little more direct, a little more,
Vim and vigor.
Yeah, a little snappy about stuff. Just like, let's cut through the BS on things. Like, let's get, and you're like, oh, okay.
He's telling the kids very bluntly what happened.
Right.
Yes, they did this. No, they didn't do that.
He's like, take a day. Don't be late for the meeting.
Right.
Oh, okay. Wow. Okay.
Let's get down to
it. I think Ben put it best. Looks like Marty, walks like Marty, talks like Marty, but that ain't Marty.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, even in that first meeting when they were asking about when Marty was talking about who made the decision to, what was he talking to Ruth about? Like who put...
The Smurfs?
Yeah, oh, the Smurfs. Which was an interesting piece of terminology. Ben, yeah.
Yes. We, yeah. That was
Do you
new.
Understand that?
It's a weird thing. I think I do, but I don't know how to like.
I know what it is, but I don't know like what do Smurfs symbolize that makes him call them Smurfs.
I don't know.
Is this a common term?
Maybe just work. Maybe we need to look that. I feel like I've heard that in like drug lore.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, wait,
yeah. Maybe
Smurf drugs.
Smurf drugs.
I'm googling Smurf drugs for those of you that are audio based.
And moving on, when he was talking about them, and just in that first meeting, you really kind of saw. I mean, we got a sense of it at the house, but in that meeting, I mean, it was just so. I feel like old Marty. If it would have been like, wait, who did that? Who ordered that? Oh, come on, Ruth. Like you know, but
right.
This one was like he was like. Who the hell did that? No. What we're doing it? I was like, oh, and even like at Wendy's face at the thing was like. Looking at Helen and everything.
Yeah, like that whole thing of, we got to phase that out because we don't want to have any red flags.
Right.
But then also, like, that interesting moment with Ruth where she hugged him.
Right.
Yeah, and he was just like, get the fuck off.
Right. Yeah, he's like, it's all good. Don't worry. Moving on. Like,
right.
Wow.
Yeah, just right back to business. Like, Ruth actually showed a lot of emotion toward him and he just flicked her off. And then, I mean, there was a great moment between him and the therapist, which we talked about how the therapist is the best businesswoman in town.
Yeah.
But basically, Marty's not taking any BS. He wants what he wants, and he wants it from everyone, including this therapist.
Right.
He says if he gives her what he wants, if he gets Wendy to agree to his deal in the session, he's going to give her $800.
Right.
She says that she continues to see him because she wants to see how the story plays out.
Yeah, I think it's not hurting your bank account either, sweetie.
Yeah.
Right, right. Well, which is going to be funny because now that Wendy has her on the take, too, it's all right, which one are you, you know? Like I said, it's going to come to a head, and I feel like they're both going to be like, hey, I thought you were, and she's going to be like, sorry, you got real problems, and I'm just
I'm sure it's
it for
how
me.
Parents feel all the time, you know, like trying to balance it out, make their kids think that they love them equally.
And that's a whole different show.
Wow.
So, yeah, there was that moment. I mean, the moments in the meeting. Obviously, like, the moment when they go to the horse farm was pretty
big. I mean, there was so much symbolism between, like, horses and studying and we're going to stay here. And, you know, I was like, Marty's really stepping it up.
Yeah.
I loved, like, his – I really think it's just, like, his negotiation and just, like, right to the thing, you know, right to the point. I mean, the lady's talking about, look,
let's do it.
He's like, no, let's get – what do you want?
Right.
You know,
I like that. Anybody can give you money. What do you want? Right. Like, that was so smart.
So smart.
Yeah.
If somebody did that to you in a job interview, how special would you feel?
I would be super suspicious.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, not just me, though. Like, I think I've seen too many shows like Ozark and like Breaking Bad where it's like, I'm suspicious of everybody
now.
Oh,
wow.
What would you do?
I'd be like, oh, my gosh, they care about me.
So you're saying if the employer was like, what do you
want? If the employer was like, listen, you've got a lot of offers. Clearly, you're amazing at what you do. But what can I do for you?
Mm.
I'd be like, oh, finally, someone sees me.
Mm.
Thank you.
I'm glad you asked because here's my
manifesto. Right. Yeah.
That's great. Let's do it. You know, like what? You got the job.
Well, it's interesting that because the power thing, just because we're going with this whole power theme, when she calls Navarro.
Mm. And we're fast forwarding now, right?
To
when after the ball situation?
No. The first time she calls him. I'm sorry. He calls her.
Right.
Yes.
Being like, all right, I gave your man back. You happy now? And then she's like, well, you know, why did you let him back? And that whole thing of, he's just like me.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to win.
Mm.
Yeah. Now, what do you take from that? I mean, obviously, it was some sort of mutual respect that was reached between Marty and Navarro, or at least that Navarro respected him enough to let him go.
Right.
But do you think that that means from Navarro's perspective that Wendy is not like him?
Oh, interesting.
Like who?
Because before, I think what Navarro liked about Wendy is that, like, yes, he's probably really sexist and, like, doesn't ever think that she can completely be on his level, but he respected her because he thought that they wanted the same things. In fact, when he was torturing Marty, he said that.
Right.
She wants what I want, you know? We want everything.
Right.
And then he flipped that on Wendy. I mean, maybe he's also playing both of them.
Sure.
Maybe he's the therapist, but on a much higher level and much more deadly.
LaGrasso. Okay.
Hot take. I like it.
Yeah.
Well, I think everybody's all, like, no one's actually being honest, right?
Yeah.
Ever. I mean, everyone always has like a take or an angle on an angle.
Ben seems pretty honest.
Yeah.
I feel like there's still something kind of lurking with him. Like something's
he's like clearly a psycho, but he's not lying about it.
He's like the lovable one. Yeah. You're just like,
a lovable psycho.
Yeah, like remember when he screamed? The three women were fighting about, was that in this episode or the one before? Because I watched them both back to back.
Yeah, it was the one before.
Okay. Yeah, but like, do you remember in that moment when he screamed when they were fighting in the kitchen and everyone just looked at him and then went back to their business?
Well, they literally introduced him as he could be, at any point, could be go off and do some stuff.
Yeah, he's throwing cell phones in a wood chipper.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Which I like to do on a Tuesday, but.
We're here for a different story. Yeah. That's for a different day. But going back to, like you said, the power shift, I think is, it's just such a. I mean, man, this one really, the way Bateman just comes at it. I love just the way that he's coming in.
He's such a good actor.
Oh, man. He's.
I mean, I just love how he comes, like you said, with each person. I mean, with the FBI agent, you know, first he comes in, says, like, stay away from my family. Like, all he calls her Maya. It's no longer agent. You know, I don't even remember, like, what her, you know, name. But it's always Maya. Because even Wendy at one point, she was like, Maya? Like, you're on that kind of name, basis with her? And he's like, yeah, whatever. So what we need to do is, and you're just like, oh, man, this dude. And at one point in the office, when he was meeting with Helen, when they were talking about trying to flip Maya, you kind of saw, like, Helen had this just wry smile on her because Marty was just in there like, well, yeah, we can do this and this and this and I'm going to do this and we'll get her to do, you know, and I think she was looking like, I like this Marty. Like, he's real.
Well, right. And when Helen came back with the information from Jim saying that, you know, this woman, Maya right. Miller,
no.
is never going to flip because she's got a personal reason to not flip.
Right.
But Marty sees the alternate side of that, you know, first of all, she's got her dad in her blood.
Sure.
So she's got she just took it and made it the right way, which we'll get to this great quote that happens at the end, but like you got the right kind of pain or the wrong kind of pain. And she flipped it and used it the right way.
Right.
But it could just as easily have gone the other way. And so Marty sees that possibility. And that's when I really saw Helen's eyes spark and say, wow.
And I think he was testing.
He's got a little flavor.
I think he was definitely testing it when he went and got that information on that payloan person and wanted to see, like, hey, if she's just going to take it. Like, hey, this is what I'm talking about.
Right.
You know, because like you said, like, how did you get it? It doesn't matter. I want to go and nail this dude. Maybe that would he would have been like, yep, I could get her. But the fact that she was like, you can't do this. Like, you got to do it the right way.
Yeah, like, you can't take the deal and not take the deal.
He could get out the easy way. And
right.
That was what kind of surprised me in the end is that he is telling her some truth. But do you think so? Obviously, this is going to work to his advantage in some way. I feel like she's at least going to crack a little bit.
Right.
But is she going to take that information and instantly give it back to the FBI, or is she going to continue to build the case on her own before bringing it back? Because that's what could build Marty time to turn her.
Mm. What information are you talking about?
When he said that he was with kidnapped and with the cartel.
And then all of a sudden she just got braids real quick. Like, that was kind of odd, right? I was like, that's a weird continuity thing that she went from.
Oh, right.
But she was going to sleep. She was like, at the hotel.
I thought maybe she braided them herself.
I guess maybe she did. Yeah. It's a weird thing, but it seemed very, like a big drastic change. Like it was like,
could it have been the next day?
It could have been the next week, but it still seemed like...
Okay, so you needed to explain where she went to get her hair done.
No, it seemed like an actress got her hair done, not that it was part of the character.
Interesting.
So you took me out of it a little bit.
The feeling that I had when I thought that Frank Cosgrove had Botox, and I don't have a problem with anyone having Botox, but I just don't think that...
Well, Frank's son, right?
Yeah, Frank Cosgrove Jr.
Yes.
I thought, that's his name, right?
Is he a junior?
I thought he was a junior.
He's a Frank Jr.
Yeah, okay, well, whatever. The mobster's son. He looks like he has Botox, and I don't have a problem with that, but I just don't buy that a mobster's son in Missouri has Botox.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's 2020, girl. I'm just saying.
Okay.
Botox has made its way.
We need to see them in the barbershop. We need to see them getting their Botox. Oh, my
God. Because he is pushing that, like, what, 1978 Trans Am?
Yeah, exactly.
Through. Like, what's up, ladies?
Yeah, he's trying to look young.
Trying to look young.
Oh, and the bird seeds on his car. You know, that's
that was brilliant. That brings us to our next topic, which is Ben and Ruth.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys have anything else you want to say about this power struggle?
No, I like it. Let's move on.
Okay, cool. Because we're going to get to some other things that involve Wendy and Marty, because they're kind of interwoven into every storyline. But before we get there, I want to talk about our storyline, which is that we're doing a podcast that's also got a beautiful visual component. Yes. And in order for us to continue doing this, we really need fans supporting us. That's the only way we can do this show. And the best way to support us is by going ahead and subscribing, rating, and reviewing, liking it on YouTube,
Boom.
The YouTube website, and leaving us a comment, because we'll comment back. We love to know what you think of the show, how we can best serve you. We just appreciate you watching, and we would love to know how you feel about what we're doing here.
Yes, very well said.
Hit all the buttons
right there.
Hit all the buttons on your phone. And follow it on Spotify, because Spotify is becoming quickly one of the leaders in the podcasting industry.
Oh, man, look at you. Look at all the little... tidbits there. That's
things.
Why we got it. That's why she's the moderator. She's got all this kind of good stuff going. So.
You know, it's who's a leader in Lake Ozark is Ben. He's a leader in love. Out of everybody who's bringing the romance, I would say Ben is the one I would fall for the most, because he observes, he listens, and then he does better.
Mm. Yes.
And God bless it. That's all a girl could ask
for. And he's got a little tenacity again.
Tenacity. You can shit all over him. And he'll bring some birds to shit on a guy's car that you don't like. So, yeah, there's some things heating up here between Ben and Ruth. I mean, the first beautiful moment is when they are sitting next to each other on the couch and Ruth thinks she's absolutely screwed because the accounts are frozen.
Sure.
And they kiss.
Mm.
And she thinks she's going to die. So she kisses him. She says that the next day, but I think that she felt the fire.
Oh, yeah.
And wanted a little bit of human connection.
Yeah, definitely.
This show, it did bless us with some human connection tonight. We'll get to the next part.
Yeah.
But what do you think of their little entanglement, and do you think it's going to continue?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we are leading up to a heavy, heavy romance.
Heavy petting.
Heavy petting. No, I think we're going to go... I think we're going to home plate here eventually.
Home plate.
To keep it PC, maybe is a way to say. I don't know.
When you said home plate, I thought of Old Country Buffet.
Wow. She's like a girl that's hungry right now. Well, I think, like you said, I definitely feel that, like you said, the sparks are flying. It's funny, like, whenever she even, like, tries to come hard at him. He just always has a smile on his face.
Oh, yeah.
He's just like, okay.
Well, he loves crazy because he is crazy.
I was going to say, it's like, he's like, okay, no, I see what you're doing, you know?
Yeah.
And like you mentioned, the French sticks. Like you said,
I love that. Like, offers a burrito, a breakfast burrito.
Yeah.
I like French toast sticks.
And he's just so like...
but
like,
she still takes it yanks She's up like, the window.
But I love it that it's French toast sticks. Right?
You know,
like,
what?
This is something that comes in your freezer, you put it in a toaster. Like, I don't want, you know, brunch at the Ivy. You know, I want French toast sticks.
Yeah, well, Ruth is who she is through and through, and I think that's what he loves about her. But I got to give her a little bit of credit. When I used to get hot lunch in elementary school, French toast sticks were the jam.
Oh,
yeah. That was my favorite hot lunch.
Mm. I'm not hating on French toast sticks.
No, but you're right.
But, like, it's just very specific.
A breakfast burrito is a more hearty
Yeah, a little meal. More hearty, but she's like, no, I like the sticks.
That's what the people come for, the breakfast breakdown.
Yeah.
You know, like, let's get that to be
Yeah, people are clearly tuning in.
French sticks,
well, what team are you guys?
I'm going to go French sticks.
Yeah, French toast sticks, yeah. I would do it.
Most days I would go breakfast burrito, but in this current moment, I want the sticks.
Yeah. Mm.
She made them sound so good.
You just want to dip in the syrup and get it.
Yeah, I really do. I really do. Just like Ben.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, they're
Well,
lovers.
Actually, you know what? I thought there was going to be a situation when... actually, when Ruth had got in the van, and I thought they were going to, like, kidnap her
something. It was kind of
what did they do with her?
That was
just
kind of,
roughed her up?
I don't know.
Something actually fell on her in the thing. Nobody actually touched her.
So they were just trying to scare her?
Yeah.
Do you think that they, like, said, hey, like, don't mess with our boss or else, and then kicked her out, gave her what she needed? But what happened to her car?
Because she didn't even have any money or anything.
Yeah.
We didn't see her get any.
It almost seemed like, because of the way they just kind of glossed over it, it was almost like it was a prank.
Yeah, but then why is her car no longer there? See, maybe this was a moment when the writers ran out of time and they weren't able like, to align things together.
Yeah, but this show is so good. Like, they don't do
it is,
that.
I know, but at the same time.
So I feel like maybe we're going to get paid off at
okay,
some point.
Okay, I hope so.
I think so.
Because where's her car?
But can we, speaking of cars, can we talk about Ben's mystery machine?
We sure
like,
can.
Love machine that he got there yeah. like from like 1975. You know, the van with the mini blinds yeah. in there? Like, come on. That's
mystery
if,
machine.
If that's not player, like, player, you know?
Oh, yeah. Kinda. I mean, that's on. I mean, it's you could also say it's a rape van.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah definitely. It's creepy.
It has that kind of creepy
it's
vibe.
It's a creepy van.
If that's just what you wrote, like, in. Like, you know, the fact that he's here now, he's
kind of
like...
That's just his normal ride.
Like, yeah, I was going to say, he rolls up by himself. Not like you got the book, like, dude, I got a van. You know, like, okay. But then when Ruth kicked it, I was like, whoa. Like, he might be like, whoa. Don't be getting all crazy, like, on the love machine, you know?
Yeah, well, I think it also is... It doubles as a home, probably, at some point, too, right? Like, I mean, I think he'll pull over to the truck stop and, you know, okay, I got a bed no matter what, you know.
You see that thing just bearing down on you, you're like, oh, this dude means business.
And yeah. And in the business ends with, as we talked about, them getting back at Frank Cosgrove Jr., we think. That's his name. Mobster Jr., the only way they really can, which is by putting 50 pounds of birdseed on his beautiful Trans Am and letting the birds poop all over it while they eat their French toast sticks.
Dinner and a show, as Ben so eloquently put it.
So cute. And she left the FBI agent in
I did think about
the
that.
Office
yeah,
while that. She left.
Well, she sees this idiot in the thing waving at the camera like, you got to go deal with that. Yeah. That's part of the deal.
Which is also endearing, I mean, for Ben, for like someone to be like, this is how I'm going to get her attention. Like, I know where
like
the cameras are.
Like, he knows what camera to go to.
You're like, come on, man.
Sweet.
Like, yeah.
I'd date him.
I'd date him.
Lauren's like, I'd give him
He's
a shot.
He's a winner. He's a winner.
He's fighting. Because remember what he said, where does this guy live? I want to go there right now.
Yeah, Ben, ready to scrap. Just ready.
Yeah.
I mean, I know my wife also says that's all we want. We just want you to know that.
I think deep down,
will fight for us.
Ruth probably really, you know, likes that too. Even though she was
well,
like, don't do
so
anything.
She's so used to having to fight for herself. Right. You know, that's the thing. I think that strong women in general, and Ruth is a very unique case, but like, are so used to having to fight for themselves that when someone else takes their side, it feels really good.
Yeah,
and I think someone like Ben. He's like one of those dudes where he wouldn't be like posturing, but no, we got to go do something. You know,
oh, no,
like,
he would be
like
oh,
knowing,
no.
like,
yeah.
oh, you're not going to do
No matter
anything.
The consequence,
like,
he would
be like, no, like, for real, let's go get this.
The tar
know?
Out of him.
Right. So that's why she was probably like, don't do anything, because Ruth probably looks at him like, you probably actually would go and
Oh,
try
she knows.
And, yeah,
yeah.
So
he'll throw down.
Which is, you know, which can be a good thing, but then, like you said, at times you can't control that. It's
times
like,
of trouble.
You know.
You know, there's someone else who seems to not be able to control their urges.
Tell
it. That is Erin, the daughter of
Helen. Erin, yes.
Erin
yeah,
wants
yeah, yeah.
to get it in with, you know, the informant.
Bad.
Yeah.
Wow.
Girl, let me just tell you something.
Please.
Wait. Just wait. It's not that great the first time.
No.
You want to be able to trust them. You certainly don't want them to be an informant on your mother. Okay?
Wow.
Just hold your horses.
Even Charlotte is just
you brought
like,
it all back around too.
I didn't even mean to. Shoot.
Yeah, even like Charlotte's like, girl, like settle
yeah.
down.
Well,
like,
because you know? Charlotte had that unsavory experience, so she knows exactly the perils of boys on boats.
boys on boats.
I wonder if does Helen know? Helen doesn't know.
Helen's swinging around with the cartel in her big SUVs.
Yeah, she's got no
connection
in her pantsuits.
I keep on thinking like Jonah's gonna be the one. Like I don't know. Like somehow he might get in there.
That
like,
would be safer.
Like they,
way safer.
You know?
How old is he?
With his drone, I think he's like 14. I think.
Yeah. Like
as
14.
Long as they're both underage, it's fine.
Yeah.
Lauren covering all bases,
yeah.
like, you know.
We want to make sure this is a savory situation. Yeah, I mean, and so Charlotte ends up having to give that guy a talking to and says basically, like, you know who you work for, you know who I'm the daughter of, stay the F away from Erin, because Erin cannot find out what's going on.
Right.
And it's in this episode that Helen, or was it the one before, that Helen finds out that she knows?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now this is like a new... It's a new pressure put on Charlotte because she has to deal with not only keeping secrets from the general public, but this other girl that she's going to be hanging out with. And on top of that, she's probably going to get murdered if this girl finds out.
And also, just speaking, going back to his theme of just people being gangster, well, like yeah. Charlotte steps it up too. I mean, mm-hmm. just the way she confronts him, yeah. it wasn't like a snarky, like, well, they didn't. It was more like, you know who I'm the daughter of. Mm-hmm. Like, get your stuff together. I don't think your boss would want. I was like,
she was trying this on for size. It was interesting. And that actress did a really good job with it. She was trying to, like, oh, can I play tough like this? Like, yeah. I've been bratty, I've been cold, I've been fun girl. Can I be this tough girl too? And I thought that actress did a great job.
Yeah, no, she's.
Well, it's funny. It was like daughter, like father, where like they both had a moment of like being gangster, and then kind of like smiling and like, yeah, I just did that. Okay, walk away.
Just mic drop. Bam.
Yeah, totally.
Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was nice to see Charlotte kind of step up and, you know, wear the old gangster hat.
Right.
Represent for the family. Gangster hat. Yeah, and then, you know, we did see Jonah also stand his ground when he thought the informant went into the bedroom.
Oh, yeah.
So that was interesting.
That's right. Yeah, unfortunately, Jonah got overpowered very quickly.
Yeah,
he's pushed to the side.
A literal child.
Yeah, yeah. But I appreciate my man trying to step up.
Yeah, right. He's
trying
definitely.
To represent how he big doesn't
like
came
the,
in.
He doesn't like the cut of this guy's jib. So,
what does that mean?
I don't like the cut of your jib. You never heard that?
Never.
It's like an old-timey expression.
Oh, like a jib saw?
No, I just think it's.
I don't like the cut of your jib. Oh, I don't like the cut of your jib.
Is that like on a referring boat? Like is a jib on something?
Oh,
on a
wait,
boat?
It could be. Let's look this. Let's look up the word jib. J I B.
This is what we get on the show. Education, people. We all learn something.
Yeah, it's a triangular staysail set forward of the forwardmost mast. The projecting arm of a crane, also.
Mm.
Yeah, I think it would probably be better to look up cut of jib.
But I think it could be something to do with boating, which would be very on theme.
That would be very on point for me.
I guess we're
See?
Very
That's
on
how
theme
I'm good.
Tonight.
That's how I roll.
That's what we do.
Well, you've got balls. Maybe not horse balls, but you do have balls. The last topic of the night is horse balls, folks. And it's with a Z. Balls. You know,
horse ballsy.
I didn't see this one coming. There was a lot of talk of stud. I thought that it was just supposed to be this fun, like, kind of play because, you know, Marty's the stud in town now, and he's coming around, like, swinging his dick around, saying, hey, here I am. I'm back. I'm ready.
Right.
I'm the big man in charge. But really, it was just all foreplay to the cut heard around the world, which was the stud got his scrotum cut.
I mean, man,
right
how
off.
You just wake up that day and just, you know, he could have been taking a nice little nap. And
yeah.
All of a sudden.
Imagine.
Flap, flap. Like, what? Wait. Oh.
Do you think they sedated him at least?
It looked like they were doing something. Yeah.
So we find out that this horse, the stud, belonged to the guy who is the other person in the cartel who's at war with Navarro.
Yes.
And so that this whole ploy to buy this horse farm was really just to get back at his enemy.
Yeah.
It wasn't to make a legitimate business. It was to cut the balls off of a horse, as is so often with a business deal. Mm.
It seemed like a long, like, we went to China to get the Sherman Oaks on that one, right? Like, wow. Like,
yeah.
We went really deep. And then just to do all that, like, it's interesting. Like, why? I guess it's just the way Navarro rolls. Like, why wouldn't you just kind of put this out there?
The theater.
Yeah.
He loves drama.
He does love drama.
He loves drama. He loves a big statement piece.
Yeah.
And you can't get bigger than horse balls.
No. This is true.
Those are the biggest balls
this
there
is
are.
True.
They even put him on ice.
They did.
Oh, I think they're gonna get sent to whoever owns that horse.
I wonder why they would want to send him to him cold though, because then there'd still be a chance to salvage him,
maybe
right?
Maybe they got That's a good point. Yeah, I don't know.
Wow, I don't know.
No,
maybe
like,
something
why
happens
would,
when they get
they,
warm.
Wouldn't
or
it
something?
Be a bigger burn if they went there rotten?
Maybe they wouldn't. Maybe they wouldn't know what they were. Maybe they just, you know. Maybe,
I mean, yeah, because like, once they're detached, like you can't reattach them, right? Like, I don't
look at
well.
If you're a vet,
I mean,
call
I know that if you like lose a finger or something, there's a chance they reattached Bobbitt's penis. So
well, that's true.
You know, but by the time they get to Mexico, they probably will be expired.
Man.
Anyway, who would have thought we'd be talking about this
right?
tonight when we woke up this morning?
Man.
Not me.
Nope. That would be. I second that motion. I would not think I'd be talking about horse balls.
But the big thing about this is obviously there's a big breakdown between the person that they bought the horse farm.
Oh, that poor lady.
I felt so. She did a great job again in this scene, too.
For her,
I got chills from her acting performance. But then there's a moment between Helen and Wendy when Wendy demands a direct line to Navarro. And then Wendy ends up getting a hold of Navarro.
Mm.
and basically says, "You lied to me. How could you? I thought we were partners." And there's this very powerful moment between the two of them. And it goes a little something like this. "You exist for me to use. We are not partners. I own you." I feel like a lot of people in Hollywood feel like this. I'm serious.
No, I would very much agree with you, which was actually very – I think that hit kind of hit Wendy's pride a little bit because, like you said, up until then, she'd had this direct line to Navarro. You know, even Helen was like, "How'd you get that number?" You know, she's talking – he's calling her, all this stuff. And then when he just lays it out like that, like, "We are not partners." Like, "Wait a minute. I thought, you know," it's kind of like, "I thought we had."
Yeah.
"No. Let me remind you of how this works."
Right.
"And never call me again. And if you ever disrespect me again in this way, I will remind you."
Yes.
And it was with the emotion and force that he said it. It wasn't the cool Navarro, like, where he'd be like,
"No,
I will remind you." You
know, he was
ready
to murder.
Like, yeah. You're like, "Ooh, this dude, you know."
Yeah, and it's funny because Helen warned her. It's like, "I don't think it's a good idea to call him.
Give me the phone."
"Oh, no, I got this."
Right.
Everyone keeps thinking they know better than Helen. Right. It's like, she's been in this game for long enough, folks.
I tried to tell you.
Yeah, like, well, it's funny. Like, you've been here for 2 minutes with Navarro. Like, I know how this works. And it's just the thing I said in the beginning. Everybody's trying to out-gangster everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, there's only one gangster, guys.
And that is Darlene. Before we wrap this up, I'm sorry, but we cannot end this without talking about Harold and Maude Jr.
Yes.
There was a moment. There was lovemaking.
Mm.
We were...
She stood up for her in... Or I'm sorry, he stood up for her in court?
In a suit.
In a suit.
She was ready.
Yeah. Wow, that was...
quite the little family we've got going on. And quite the beautiful heroin farm that they're resurrecting.
I want to know, like, you guys out there, I don't know if you guys were yelling like we were when that was going on, because we were, like, kind of sensing, like, "No!
Yeah, it's like, coming, it's coming!"
Yeah, the embrace, and you're like, "Don't do it!"
There's a moment every episode where there's an audible scream, and this was ours for this one.
Yeah. Yeah, it was funny, because what I like, though, is that she kind of smelled him. And then he went in for the kiss.
You know what? It was nice because we saw there was consent in that moment.
Yes.
So I couldn't have enjoyed it if I didn't see that.
She would have been like, wait a minute, I don't, you know.
You're taking advantage of a young boy.
In today's world.
But you know what? He's 21. She's 64. It honestly happens the other way around all the time. So it's good to see Darlene.
Getting hers.
And you know what? Wyatt, too.
His explosion. That was awesome.
Yeah. He's enjoying himself.
And Darlene's response was, "I've been around a while. I know what to do." Like, I'm a veteran.
And now Zeke has a daddy.
Right.
And now Zeke has a baby daddy.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how that's going to all, I mean, in terms of how that.
Well, it's funny. Like, I wrote down that Darlene out-Wendy'd Wendy in that court scene.
Yeah.
Like, that was great. Like, I like that. I like when people have good, formidable foes.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, when it's not easy.
Yeah.
And
it's like, do you want to watch a sports game where you just slaughter the other team?
No,
or do you want it to be neck and neck the whole time?
Yeah,
it's more fun.
It was nice because Wendy did not think she had to do all. Like, she thought, I got her punching me, I'm good.
That was Wendy this whole episode. All of her old tricks were no longer working, and she was left in the dust just trying to pick up the pieces of her life.
And it's funny because now I feel like Darlene's coming off the sidelines. You know, when they were off at the, she was like, it's time to get
maternity leave is over.
She's getting back in the game. I'm getting back in the game.
Time to get gangster.
Here we go. Got Navarro. You're going to have Darlene probably doing some stuff.
Woo! Yeah.
And then Marty.
Maybe she'll even come in for Cartel. Maybe she'll come in and try to partner with Cartel.
Ooh. No, well, I don't know. She's got a bad taste about that Cartel.
Predictions. All right. We don't really have time for our special segment, but we can do it quickly.
I think we all have that moment, right?
I think, so definitely the sex between Darlene and Wyatt.
Was definitely hell to the nose arc.
Hell to the nose arc.
Yes.
Okay.
I think we can all agree on that. We literally all yelled, "No!"
Yeah. And any predictions for the weeks to come? Your
AfterBuzz. I don't know. Prediction.
I'm going to say my prediction is that, taking off from the Darlene perspective, I think she's going to get in and ruin some stuff. I don't know if it's going to come in with the casino or maybe drop some info to the feds about, I don't know, but I feel like she's got a vendetta and today we were seeing it hatch. So I think she's just going to be involved.
She's a hatching chicken.
Yeah, buddy.
I did predict that we were going to get a callback to that video game, and it came, like, it started to come to fruition on this episode. So I'm just going to predict that we're going to keep going down that path of that arcade. That's why, like, not a video game, it's an arcade game.
Yes. I love it. Well, I agree. I think Darlene is going to keep, you know, spawning. And I think her and Wyatt are going to become a formidable duo. I think the two of them are going to really start to carve out their own path there. And I do think they could get involved with Cartel or something equally as powerful.
Which would also be interesting because, like you said, if he if they start doing that and then Ruth's involved, you know.
Maybe the alternate
like,
side. Horseball's guy.
Oh.
Could be interesting.
And I think maybe like... like when Wyatt and Ruth, if they clash again, you know, she'd be like, Wyatt, what are you doing? You know,
and he's
like,
it's multi-layered and complex.
I'm a man now, you know?
It's good stuff.
All right, well, I think that's it for today. Where can we find you on the internet and elsewhere?
On the gram at SeanStar75, on Twitter at GorillaSuitSean.
You can find me on the gram and Twitter at TenereW. That's at TENEREW.
And I'm at Lauren LaGrasso. You can also download my podcast, Unleash Your Inner Creative, wherever you get your podcasts, and download my song, Road to Glory, on all music streaming platforms. We'll see you next week, kids.
There we go.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.